Blog Talk Radio.
The 0-2 pitch, swing and a miss, knocked him out. The Philadelphia Phillies are 2008 World Champions of Baseball.
The Eagles are headed to the Super Bowl.
Welcome to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable 2014 College Football Preview Show, brought to you by www.southbeachshopping.com, the online shopping network of the Philly Press Box Radio College Football Network. I'm Bill Furman. I'll be your host tonight, along with my partners, college football national expert Terry House and Penn State and Big Ten expert and the tackle on the 1994 Penn State offense considered by many as the greatest offense in the history of college football, the Goon, Keith Conlon. Welcome, gentlemen. Are you ready for football 2014?
Absolutely, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Yep, Bill, I appreciate you having me on. Looking forward to it. Looking for a great season.
Yeah, well, we're ready to break our show down into four segments tonight. We'll take an in-depth look at the 2014 Nittany Lions, followed by a look at the Big Ten, or 14 now, as Maryland and Rutgers begin play this season, followed by a quick trip around the country. And finally, we're going to put ourselves on the hot seat. We're going to make our final four selections and pick our national champions. Our www.southbeachshopping.com, that's www.south-beach-shopping.com for you guys. Phone lines will be open at 929-477-2855, so feel free to call throughout the show. All opinions are welcome, but please be respectful of other people's opinions. Again, for those that might want to offer a comment but don't want to call, go to the Philly Press Box Facebook page and send a personal message, and we'll do our best to get your comments or questions on the show. Keith, before we get started talking 2014 Nittany Lions, today is somewhat of a special day for an old O-lineman when his running back, Kajana Carter, was elected to the Rose Bowl Hall of Fame. How's that work for you?
Yeah, I got the word this afternoon. Earlier this morning, I saw Kajana had posted on Facebook and Twitter that he's elected into the Rose Bowl Hall of Fame. And, just going back to the 1995 Rose Bowl when we played out there against Oregon, I think he had about 185 yards rushing, but, as I told you guys before the show, I said this is as close as an offensive lineman gets to being in the Hall of Fame when it comes to a one game. And, having, your tailback getting put in there is, just like having your little brother get married. You're the proudest guy at the wedding and stuff like that. Reading that news today, just how good a guy Kajana is and how good he's been to people over the years. It's an honor for him. But, I got a little, I pat myself on the back a little bit, as an offensive lineman, as one of his offensive linemen, that we got our guy in there,
Absolutely. You mentioned that you're having a reunion of that team coming up this season. When is that, and how many guys do you expect to be there?
The Akron game is the first home game, which is actually next weekend. Obviously, Ireland this Saturday, and then next week is our home opener against Akron. We're having the 94 reunion. It's our first one at a home game. It's weird. It's really, really weird that because usually Penn State is usually reaching out and having 10-year reunion, 15-year reunions, all of that stuff. But I guess that 10 years ago when we had our 10-year reunion, we had to have it as a blue-white game because there were still so many guys that were in the NFL who couldn't make it during the actual football season in 2004. So they actually pushed us back. We were in the spring of 2005. We had a reunion, and they haven't had one since. So this will be actually the first time the 94 team will actually be recognized at the stadium as a whole in front of a home crowd, not just in front of a home game, not a blue-white game. So looking forward to it. I got all the names coming in. All the big boys are coming in. I just read an article that Kyle Brady's out in Ireland right now. He's actually the captain of the Penn State team over there in Ireland because his high school, Cedar Cliff, is playing one of the opening high school games. So I know Kyle's coming in, Kerry, Kijana. I know four. I have not heard about Andre, if he's coming in or not, but I know that Bucky, Jeff Hardings, Bucky Greeley, Marfa Rivera, and myself will be there. So the only guy I know for sure will not be there is Bobby Ingram, who's now coaching the Baltimore Ravens. So
sounds like a great time. Are all the pubs in State College on alert?
There's no doubt about that. Yeah, there's definitely. Yeah, there's like a hurricane warning going up. You know, we're on the beach, and there's going to be some fun had next weekend. A lot of guys are bringing their families back, and you know, a lot of guys have young kids and stuff, and you know, see their daddy run out of the huddle, out of the tunnel on the field. It's a pretty special feeling for some of the guys having the kids and their mom and dad's there. So it's going to be a fun time, and trust me, we're going to have a fun time with it.
Absolutely, and well deserved, my friend. Great job as a Penn State follower, Penn State fan. What a tremendous football team.
Yeah. I appreciate
it. All right, well, let's get started. We're going to hit you up, Keith, on the 2014 Nittany Lions. Obviously, people are excited to see new head coach James Franklin, and he sure made an impact, at least in the area with his recruiting and so forth. But now it's time to put it on the field, and, of course, everybody wants to see the fantastic young quarterback, Christian Hackenberg.
No doubt about it. I mean, you know, you go back to Bill O'Brien last year, and you know, I mean, you look at Bill O'Brien, you look at James Franklin, you see, you know, they're very similar, but they're very different in their personalities, personal mannerisms and stuff, where James loves being the face of Penn State. You know, he just loves it. He loves being that guy, the head coach of Penn State. He's the guy out there doing the recruiting, doing the shows, whereas Bill O'Brien would rather have been locked in a closet with 10,000 hours of film. That was his style of coaching versus James, who's out there recruiting, out there getting Penn State and names out there, dominate the state, dominating, you know, three or four states around us right now. He's killing it recruiting. But, you know, this is the ultimate question right now for James Franklin and his staff is how are they going to be as coaches? Saturdays, you know, this is the big, we don't know. You know, we had Bill O'Brien come in here, great coach, great staff, all this stuff. He struggled his first two games here. We're losing against Ohio, losing against UVA at UVA. But then you had Coach Franklin here, who has actually been a head coach for 4 or 5 years. And the only thing I'm going to say right now is my opinion of Coach Franklin and his staff is the man won at Vanderbilt playing an SEC schedule, and he had the Vanderbilt side. He wasn't coaching Alabama. He wasn't coaching Ole Miss. He wasn't coaching all these Auburn and Georgia and all these stud athletes. He was coaching Vanderbilt and won 9 games. So I am very, very, very interested to see how he and his staff do with coaching this Saturday.
It's interesting to me to, you know, when you talk Penn State football, the first thing that never comes out of your mouth is the quarterback position. It's yep. always the running back and the big offensive lineman and the linebackers. And this Christian Hackenberg is something special.
No doubt about it. I mean, you're saying, you know, the star quarterback, the star running back, the star offensive line, you know, and the star linebackers, they really don't have all of that this year. You know, they have a stud quarterback is what they have. I think Franklin inherited an absolute gem in Christian. And, you know, I'll get right to it. I mean, there's the huge elephant in the room other than me right now, but there's an elephant in my living room. No, he's about my size. But that is how the big boys are going to do up front. You know, this team's going to go as Christian Hackenberg goes, and if he's on his back getting dirty every game, not going to go that well. You know, they got to keep Hackenberg up. They got to keep him upright. They got to keep him on the field. They can't have him hurt. And if he starts going down, that's the season right there. So the quarterback's best friend is the offensive line, obviously, but his true best friend is a running game. And you bring out Zwinak, Lynch, Belton, the three-headed monster out there, they have to perform. They don't perform, Hackenberg's going to be sitting there, you know, they're going to be sitting in an eight-man zone or a four- or five-man deep. You know, if they know that they, you know, they're not going to get run on, they're just going to sit there and blitz him, and it'll be hell to pay. So really a lot has to do this season on the run game, and a lot of that obviously depends on the offensive line. So, as an offensive lineman, I don't want that any other way. You know, the team's depending on me. That's where offensive line guys flourish. So, pass blocking, run blocking, they're all the same.
Yeah, it looks like Donovan Smith at left tackle is going to be the only returning starter on that group, and they look awful young. And the wideouts, you know, they look young too, as they were hit hard with graduation.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you know, Donovan is a future NFL player. There's no doubt about that. I mean, he's a guy out there who's been he's had everybody saying he's going to be all this and all that in the last 2 years. So, you know what, it's time. It's his time to shine right now this year. He needs to step up, be a leader on that offensive line, in that huddle, and be the man out there. You know, be that guy who said, you know what, we need a yard. Okay, well, we're not saying about going right. We're going to go left for sure. And the defense is going to know they're going to go left, and they still can't stop it. That's the kind of player Donovan Smith's kind of become.
Well, that's good. That's good stuff. I have to ask you about the defense, and especially with the loss of defensive line coach Larry Johnson, who is one of my favorite people that I've ever met involved in football. As he pumped out All-Americans year after year ever since he got there. And he got two returning guys back in Deion Barnes and C.J. Alion. What do you see from the defense? They're going to lack depth, that's for sure.
Yep. I mean, you know, you speak very highly of Coach Larry Johnson, so do I. I mean, Larry Johnson was the best in his business, but having seen how Sean Spence has coached these kids, how they're reacting to these kids, and how he is recruiting, I mean, I don't want to say that, you know, the name Larry Johnson will ever be forgotten in Penn State history, but it's going to really, really ease that transition. I mean, Sean Spence is an absolute stud defensive line coach. He's amazing. I mean, he is a younger version of Larry Johnson. Would you have thought that was possible a year or two ago?
No.
Not at all, right? Not a chance in hell of ever thinking that. But it's just what's going on here. He's a high-energy guy. He's bringing guys in. He's coaching them. They're just crazy dogs out there. They're just working. And then, you know, I am very, very interested to see how these guys do up front. Because, you know what, Spence took this job knowing he had those shoes to fill. You know, he had recruited against Larry Gunn in the D.C., Maryland area, Virginia area for years. He knew who Larry Johnson was, knew his pedigree, knew all this and all that. He took that as a challenge, and he is out there. And his guys are just balling out there right now. Very interested to see how they do Saturday. Very, very interested to see how they do.
Well, what about Mike Hull? A lot said about him that, you know, if he can stay healthy, that he's right up there with all the good ones that have preceded him at linebacker.
No doubt about it. He's got to stay healthy. I mean, that's one of the biggest things in football right now, especially with our linebackers the last few years. He's got to stay healthy. You know, Mike has all the tools to be one of those, you know, Mike Maldies, Navarro Bowmans, Puz Leslie, Connor, Sean Lee. I mean, Mike Hull. A guy who's in the news this week, Tim Shaw, guy, you know. How about the news about him with the ALS diagnosis, you know?
Yeah.
There's a guy right there, Tim Shaw, who that's the definition of a team guy right there. He's starting middle linebacker, but in 2006, it was 2005, it was time for Dan Connor to shine and Paul Plus Leslie to shine. So they moved him, or 2006, they moved him to defensive end. And you know what? I never heard the kid complain one damn time about not doing it, about having moved position to play defensive line of position he had never played before in his life. And he goes out there and does well at it. Goes to the NFL, plays for 6 or 7 years. And, you know, for those of you out there who don't know, Tim was diagnosed with ALS. 30 years old. I mean, they're having this ice bucket challenge. The last couple of weeks, they're raising money for ALS. And you know what? You can sit there on Facebook and say, oh, yeah, this and that. You know, it's like, okay, enough of this. But until it really hits at home, and it really hit home when Tim Shaw says, I'm 30 years old, and I was just diagnosed with ALS. You know, that one really hits home. So, but Tim's in a long line of linebackers here. And, you know, Mike's got to stay healthy, and they're going to be fine out there, at linebacker. And what I talked about who's the quarterback's best friend is a run game, so. A good pass rush and good defensive lineman is the linebacker's best friend. So, you know, those guys up front got to keep those people off those linebackers, and they'll be all right.
All right. Well, last let's slide over and let's talk about the kicking game. And that Sam Ficken has been an interesting challenge at Penn State over the last few years. And I guess the big question is, can he finally gain the consistency that puts him up with so many of the other elite Penn State kickers?
Yeah, I mean, there's a guy. You know, he's like one of those – wasn't Massimo Mackey here for like 32 years at one point? You know, he was the only guy I know. He kicked on the 82 team, and he also kicked on the 86 team. How's that possible? I don't know, but it happened. But I think Sam Tickett's been here for about 8 years. It's what it feels like. So, as a kid, you know, I talked about earlier about that UVA game going down there and losing, you know, him missing four or five field goals and just having a tough, tough day. But they coming back and doing what he has done in his career and just not listening to naysayers and this and that. And just, you know, he's the prototypical Penn State kid of what they, you know, these kids have gone through a lot in his last 3 or 4 years, and none more than him, in my opinion. And he's persevered, and I think it's, you know, he'll be all right. He's never going to be a 60-yarder. He's not Sebastian Janikowski out there, but he's a workable kicker. He'll be just fine and good for Big Ten kicker.
Yeah, I was going to say, and you kind of hit it, he's as resilient of a young guy for, you know, being a young college guy and going through everything he went through early on. And I don't know him personally, but, boy, he just keeps coming back, and he keeps trying to get better, and I'm sure he's working at his game. And you know, he's the kind of guy that you hope it all pays off for, because he has been through a lot, and he sure seems to want to do it.
Totally agree.
All right. Well, let's slide over to our next segment, but first let's thank our sponsor. We want to ask, do you like shopping online? If you do, we've got the place for you. You can do all your shopping from one location and get cash back on your purchases from over 3,000 stores. It's the South Beach Shopping Mall Without Walls, and it's simple to do. Go to www.southbeachshopping.com and click on this top shop tab. From there, click sign in / register to become a preferred customer. That's it. It's free, and you're able to look around at all the products and click on all the stores and click on the All Stores tab and check out all 3,000 network stores by alphabet. All the big stores are there. It's a great opportunity to get cash back and even comparison shop. And best yet, it's free to register. If you have questions, click on the Contact Us tab on the homepage or click on your shop consultant, South Beach Shopping, to leave a message. Well, Terry, let's take a quick look around the Big Ten. Things sure took a twist this week when Ohio State quarterback Braxton Miller went down for the season. How do you see the division sorting out, and where do you see Penn State disrupting things?
Well, first of all, thanks, Bill, for having me on again. And, Keith, great stuff on PSU. What an opportunity for, you know, the fans of a great program to have one of their former players come on and, you know, someone that's connected, someone that's been there and been through it. And just to hear your take on that was tremendous. So thanks for that. Cool. With regard to the Big Ten, let me first say this about it. I really like the direction of the conference. I really do. And it's funny to say that about the Big Ten because it's obviously one of the blue blood conferences. It's been a tough, you know, 6 or 7 years there for the conference as a whole in terms of, you know, bowl games, some of those, you know, nationally televised games, again, out-of-conference games, I should say. But with that said, over the last year, I think we've seen a movement towards improvement, and I honestly feel that the Big Ten is poised to be the third-best conference in college football in 2014. And again, I know it's a little bit interesting to think about the Big Ten in that manner, but I don't know, I'm really encouraged and really excited to see what, you know, what goes on this season. And, you know, when you think about some of the coaches they've added to the conference, that obviously elevates things. When you think about some of the schemes that are in the conference at this point, that obviously elevates things. And, you know, better recruiting, you guys were talking about Coach Franklin. I mean, my goodness, there isn't a better recruiter out there. Urban Meyer, you know, obviously has a reputation for being a great recruiter, but James Franklin is going to absolutely kill it at Penn State. And really, you know, for a conference to kind of take that next step, which we're seeing with the Big Ten again, you know, those lower-tier teams really have to, you know, to get better. And, you know, Purdue, they brought in a new coach a couple years back now. And, you know, you're seeing some of these programs, you know, Indiana with Coach Wilson, you're seeing some of these programs kind of take that next step to being competitive with, you know, some of the bigger programs in the conference. So first and foremost, just generally speaking, I just wanted to say that, you know, I'm really excited about the Big Ten. In terms of your two questions, and specifically kind of how the East Division will shake out and PSU's chances there in disrupting things, First of all, with the news, as you mentioned, of Braxton Miller going down, it's a huge loss for Ohio State and college football in general. You know, this is a guy that's been so dynamic and so explosive and one of the better players in college football for the last 3 years. It's really unfortunate. It really is. With that said, I don't believe it really changes the landscape that much. And the reason that I say that is, even with Braxton Miller in there, I think Ohio State was going to have some challenges. And I think the number one challenge they were going to have is that Michigan State's in their division. And you know, some of the other teams are going to be competitive as well. But, you know, Ohio State, they're still probably the most talented team from top to bottom when you're looking at their sheer roster. This is probably the most athletic team Urban Meyer's had at Ohio State, athletic and explosive, both on the offensive and the defensive side of the ball. So, you know, they're – even with Braxton Miller being out, as we saw with Guyton last year, you know, they have such a system there. Urban Meyer is such a great offensive coach. You know, they do a lot of different things. It's not like they're asking their quarterback to play like, you know, Hackenberg, where he has to go through true progressions and reads and you know, really work his way through a defense. You know, it's more simplistic. It's based on athletic ability. And the newcomer there, the young quarterback, JT Barnett, he's going to step in, and he's a good player, dual-threat guy, former four-star recruit out of high school out of the state of Texas. I think he'll fill in, you know, adequately for sure early on, and by the end of the season he should be a pretty productive player. For Michigan State, that's definitely my pick to win the East Division. I really like Connor Cook. He developed over the course of the season last year. You know, a big question mark for them is going to be their defense with only three starters back. But with Pat Narduzzi at the helm, one of the great defensive minds in college football, I think they're in good hands there. You know, they're going to have a good front on that side of the ball. The back two levels, they definitely have to find the rotation. They have to find some depth. You know, they lost some quality players to the NFL, especially in the secondary. But I really like Michigan State. They also get Ohio State at home this year. So even with Braxton Miller, even if he would have been in there, I really felt Michigan State, even though Ohio State is extremely talented, I really like, you know, the direction of the program there at Michigan State, and I think they'll win the East Division. Like I said, I had Ohio State finishing second there, and look, they most certainly could win that division. It wouldn't surprise me one bit if Urban Meyer rallied the troops, and, you know, that's going to be the calling card. They're gonna have a chip on their shoulder. Everybody's counting them out. You know, the odds in Vegas dropped to like 19-1 or 17-1 or whatever it was. So I expect them to come out and play good football, and they're going to be right there in the mix. But again, having Ohio State at home, I really like what Michigan State's doing, and I think that they'll beat Ohio State this season. In the third slot,
hey, Terry, let me ask you. Penn State has Ohio State at home, and also has Michigan State at home. Can they mess that up any for those guys?
Well, anytime Penn State has, you know, any of those guys at home, you can throw the records out the book. You know, it's most certainly going to be a competitive game, and I think Penn State has a lot of talented players on both sides of the ball. And as Keith was saying, I think that coaching staff, they've proven, you know, at Vanderbilt, at an academic institution like that, having, you know, the hindrances of not being able to bring in everybody that you want to bring in, comparatively speaking to some of the SEC schools that, you know, as we've seen, you know, may not have, you know, as stringent of standards when it comes to, you know, to getting kids into school. This coaching staff can coach players up. There's no question about that. So can Coach Franklin, can he coach those guys up, and can they upset Ohio State and Michigan State at home? It's very possible. I mean, a lot of things will have to come into play. I think it's not, you know, it's definitely not a foregone conclusion that Penn State can't beat those teams. But looking at it on paper, as we are here in August, from a personnel standpoint, I think Penn State's a couple years away from being able to beat those teams. But again, you know, in Happy Valley, you know, in that stadium, you know, anything can happen. So, you know, most certainly I think it'll be interesting for sure. There's a lot of football to be played, so we'll see how it all pans out. You know, some of those games, you know, we have quite a few weeks here, but it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting.
Keith, what are your thoughts?
I think Terry's damn good, man. Very good analysis. I liked it a lot. You know, losing Braxton Miller obviously hurts Ohio State a whole bunch. You know, but, you know, it's the first time they actually played without him. You know, the guys are actually used to not playing with him. That injury hurts the Big Ten. It hurts the national scene, yeah. But, you know, my feeling on the whole thing is, you know, we're talking about, can Penn State make any kind of splash when they're playing Sparty at home, they're playing the Buckeyes at home, a night game, 8 o'clock at night. There's a lot of revenge going into that game. I mean, you know, you can throw talent out the window when it comes to that game, because that game last year was just an anomaly. It was just it was just a mess, I guess, on the Penn State side. So I think there's a lot of bitter taste in those kids' mouths, and I wouldn't count Penn State out of that game. But I don't know what it is about Sparty coming into Penn State on senior day that they've always had problems playing there. You know, so, I mean, the question was, can Penn State make any kind of run at those guys, those two teams? And I think they can, but when it comes down to it, I have to be smart about this. And, you know, Sparty's the defending champion right now in the Big Ten, and I think that Sparty is going to do it again. That's my prediction for playing in the Rose Bowl this year will be Michigan State. I think Ohio State will. That number 8 game that those guys have is going to be that going to determine the Rose Bowl. It's going to determine who may play in the Final Four, which we'll get into later. But that's going to be a great game. I look for. I mean, it's like as somebody said before, there's a lot of football to be played here, boys. So there's a lot of things that can happen either way. But you know, looking at the Big Ten, my analysis on that, I think you got to knock Sparty off. So Sparty's on the top of the heap right now. So who's there to take them off? The only person right now to do that would be Ohio State. They're not happy about how last year went down in that title game, and we shall see.
Well, I'm with you, and I'm even going to give one of my Final Fours away because it's going to be Michigan State. So I'm with you guys on that all the way, and I just see I do like. I think I'm really going to like, once we see it live, is I think this Ohio State defense is going to be really good. I think they have 5 of their front 7 back. They also have Larry Johnson again, who is going to up that defensive line even another notch. I really like them, but I don't think they're going to be good enough on offense to beat Michigan State. I just think Michigan State's got too much for them. So I do want to ask you guys another question, though. What about Brady Hoke at Michigan? Is he about run out of juice up there?
Would you like me to go first, Keith?
Sure, go ahead, man.
Yeah. Okay. So with Michigan, I actually had them slotted in third in the division in the East, and they returned 15 starters, 8 on defense. They're going to have a really good rotation there for sure. They're very talented on that side of the ball. And I believe on offense, I think Devin Gardner will bounce back. I mean, turnovers was a huge problem last year. They couldn't run the football. The offensive line was a major issue for them. The offensive line will be better, especially the interior. And I know they lost, obviously, a very quality tackle, but they have another one there as well. The offensive line will do a much better job. They have, obviously, a lot more experience there. I do believe Michigan will play better in 2014. And a name for everybody out there to remember will be Jabril Peppers from New Jersey. The kid can play. He's a freshman, incoming freshman. He'll probably play defense, play a little offense, special teams. He'll remind a lot of people of Charles Woodson. And I know that's lofty praise for an incoming freshman, but he's a really good player. Brady Hoke's a good coach. There's no question about that. He's had some difficult times there. You know, they've had some injuries on the defensive side of the ball during his tenure. The Big Ten's tough. I mean, the Big Ten's tough, especially in this division when you got to play Ohio State and you got to play Michigan State and Penn State and, you know, with some of these teams like Indiana, you know, kind of rising up. I think it's going to be a better year. Is it going to be enough to please all of those faithful Michigan fans? I don't know. I'm thinking maybe 8-4, 9-3 at best. I don't know if that'll be enough, though.
Well, I have to think that Brady's very much on the hot seat. One of the top in the country as far as being on the hot seat. What do you think?
I completely agree. I mean, I was at the Penn State Michigan game last year when I really couldn't believe that Penn State won that game. And you know, that has 100% to do with coaching, in my opinion. You know, there was 4 chances for Michigan to steal that game and win that game, and they just choked on all 4. So until Brady Hoke, I mean, I like Brady Hoke. I respect Brady Hoke as a coach and as a man and his teams. You always got to love Michigan. And Michigan, you know, as much as I hate them and this and that, and Ohio State hates them, and I hate Ohio State, but yeah, you got to respect those teams. You got to respect a team like Michigan. You got to respect a guy like Brady Hoke. been there a long time, done a lot of things there as an assistant coach, as a coordinator, and now as the head coach. But until he proves he can win those big games, you know, the jury's still out on him. So, and I think that there is a very fickle fan base up there, a very fickle large fan base in Michigan at that root for the Wolverines. So I think that he has to win 9 games, I think, my personal opinion. I think he has to win 9 games in a bowl game to keep his job. So
I agree. I agree. All right.
As a Big Ten fan, you don't want to lose a guy like Brady Hoke, but, you know, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Sorry.
Yeah, well, and I think you hit it right on the head. It's the fan base that the pressure is going to come that they're going to have to make a move if he wins 8 games.
Yeah, they're still calling for Bo Schembechler, it is what it is,
I have some good friends that are Michigan fans, and I tell you what, they blame this whole turnaround on Rich Rodriguez, not. That Brady Hoke was handed a bad deck of cards to start with, and hasn't been able to dig it out from Rich Rodriguez coming in there and destroying the program.
I can see that. I mean, I, on a personal basis, I can see that. I really can. But
all right. Well, let's get ready. We'll hit to our next segment. We got to get our sponsor in here one more time. And as you guys know, as you start to get a little older, some of those aches and pains start to really take over. For me, it was a chronic right shoulder from too much football and too many games behind the plate. I got to the point that it was really affecting my quality of life. So I finally listened to a friend that kept suggesting I go to www.southbeachshopping.com and order a bottle of OPC3. It's an all-natural isotonic product that reduces inflammation. I took a couple capfuls a day, mixed with water for about 3 weeks, and my shoulder pain went away. It still pops and cracks, but it doesn't hurt, and that's all that matters. I'm back golfing and even pitching batting practice again. It's OPC3 and available at www.southbeachshopping.com. To register for free, click on the top shop tab. From there, click sign in, register to become a preferred customer. That's it. Type in OPC3 in the search bar, and you can drill down and read all the details. OPC3 is now part of my early morning routine, and I'm glad it is. All right, let's move on. Terry, take us for a quick tour around the country. Hit the conferences. Give us your thoughts on who you see being the conference champion. And where does Notre Dame fit in now that they have a bit of an ACC schedule? They'll be visiting Tallahassee to meet the Seminoles before long.
Absolutely. Now, we could obviously spend days on each conference here, so I'll try to go through these quickly. And I know you guys are going to have some thoughts on this as well. So I'll start out with the Pac-12. In my mind, the Pac-12 right now is the second best conference overall. There's a lot of depth in this conference. In the Pac-12 South, I do like UCLA to win the South, with USC and Arizona State nipping at their heels. USC is probably the most talented team in this division still. If you're just looking at the two deep, probably at least the top 22 there. USC is probably still the most talented team, but with the sanctions still weighing on them. If they have some injuries, it's going to be very difficult for them. So I like UCLA in the South, USC, then Arizona State, Arizona, Utah, and then Colorado. In the North, I like Oregon. And I know a lot of people are really, pounding the Stanford drum still. And Stanford is obviously a quality football program, and Coach Shaw is a tremendous coach. But I really like Oregon. I think Mariota being healthy this year, I think Oregon's going to be back to being that dominant team. And talk about a good matchup in week two, Oregon and Michigan State. That's going to be something to watch. But I like Oregon, then Stanford, Washington, Oregon State, Washington State, and then Cal. And I have Oregon beating UCLA in the Pac-12 championship. Then we look at the Big Ten. As we talked about earlier, I think we all like Michigan State. I think Michigan State wins the East with Ohio State in the second slot. I had Michigan in the third slot. And I actually had Indiana in the fourth slot. And Coach Wilson's done a fantastic job. They returned, I think, 17 starters from last year's team, both quarterbacks, very dynamic on offense. They beat Penn State, I think it was 44-24 last season. They get them at home again as well as playing Maryland. At home, and those are kind of those 50-50 games, I think, one of those 50-50 games for Penn State. I think Indiana is going to play in a bowl game for the first time in quite some time. I had Penn State in the fifth slot there in the East, And I had a Keith did a great job of going through and kind of isolating some of the concerns, and I kind of, you know, second a lot of those. The offensive line obviously is the most you know, pressing thing, I think. When you have one returning starter and you have a couple defensive linemen that you're kind of moving back over to the offensive side, you know, that's always difficult. And as you pointed out, you know, with Hackenberg being a young quarterback and, you know, the run game, you know, Zwinek and Belton and Lynch, I mean, these guys can do it. But, you know, from a stats standpoint, you know, they weren't as productive as they probably should have been last year. The receiver position, very inexperienced, as you guys said. When you lose, you know, 125 catches over 1,700 yards and 9 touchdowns, and you replace it with guys that haven't played a whole lot of college football, and you replace it with some younger guys like Goodwin and Tompkins, some of these guys, some of these younger, you know, some of these younger players. Now, they're 4-star recruits and all that, but as Keith could tell you, until you get out there on the field and you actually execute and, you know, you mature and you produce, you know, it's kind of hard to, you know, to rely on those guys. Special teams, as you guys mentioned for Penn State, that's going to be something that they most certainly need to shore up, and I think Coach Franklin and those guys will. Penn State really struggled in kick coverage, punt coverage, net punting. You know, they were really in the bottom tier last year in some of these categories, and, you know, the little things really make the difference in some of those 50-50 games, as you guys know. And then another concern that you guys brought up that I had for Penn State and why I have them at 5 is, you know, Hackenberg is going into his sophomore season. He's got a new coach, and obviously, as Keith pointed out, it's a lot of the same kind of schematics, a lot of, you know, the system's relatively the same. But one thing that I keep coming back to when I think about Penn State and this upcoming season is Bill O'Brien not being there. And as he pointed out, Bill O'Brien is definitely not the kind of, you know, the face of the program. He's not out there recruiting like Franklin, but Bill O'Brien's probably one of the brighter offensive minds in all of football. You know, working with Tom Brady, working under Belichick, and then coming to Penn State, what he did with Matt McGloin and what he did with that offense, utilizing the tight ends and really attacking teams in space, I mean, the guy's tremendous. And it's not only his preparation prior to the game. It was his in-game, you know, decision-making, his changes that he made. And I think Hackenberg really benefited from that. Hackenberg is probably the most physically gifted quarterback in the Big Ten. There's no question about that. The guy's off the charts physically. He's probably a three-and-done kind of guy, NFL player written all over him, no question about that. But I kind of caution, you know, the progress there. You know, I'm anxious, actually, to see what happens, you know, when Franklin and these guys get their hands on them, they get out there in a real game. I think Hackenberg is going to be fine. I mean, he was, you know, just under 60% last year, completion percentage, about 2,500 yards, 20 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. He only had 2 interceptions in the last 5 games, I believe, so really played well down the stretch. I think he's a great player. I'm just, you know, really curious. I want to see how that kind of plays out in terms of, you know, kind of morphing into this new system a little bit. And defensively, as you guys covered it, I mean, Penn State's going to be fine. I mean, the second level, the linebackers, that's really the only question mark in terms of depth. The safeties, you know, Amos, the secondary is great. The front line is going to be active. I have no questions there. But, you know, with the offense, with the inexperience on the offensive line and receivers, that's why I had Penn State at 5. Then I have Maryland, Rutgers. In the West, I have Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin, with their offensive line, with their ability to run the football, you know, with their just mentality that they approach the game of football with, I still like them out in the West. I don't think Iowa or Nebraska or Northwestern can beat them. I had Northwestern in the second slot, then Iowa, Nebraska, Illinois, Minnesota, and Purdue. You know, some of those teams, Illinois, Minnesota, Purdue, they just don't have the rosters to compete. Iowa has a very favorable schedule. Northwestern is a really good team. Pat Fitzgerald, one of the best coaches in college football. But losing Venrick Mark, which he just transferred to West Texas A&M, you know, that was really one of their playmakers that they really relied on. I'll quickly go through the SEC because I know you guys have a lot to say, I'm sure. LSU.
I love this right now, by the way. This is fantastic.
I told you he was an expert, Keith.
it's remarkable. Thank you.
In the SEC, I think Alabama is the most talented team, probably other than Florida State, in the country from top to bottom. I don't think there's really any questioning that. But I like LSU in the SEC West. I think both teams will end up with 2 losses. I like LSU at home against Alabama in the regular season, and I think they will represent the SEC West in the SEC championship game. Then I have Auburn, Ole Miss, Mississippi State. Texas A&M is going to kind of fall back to earth a little bit here without Johnny Football. And then Arkansas kind of bringing up the rear there in the West. In the East, I like South Carolina. I think South Carolina as well will finish with a 10-2 record. Georgia with a 10-2 record. But I think the difference with South Carolina and Georgia is I like Dylan Thompson. I like the quarterback. I like, you know, experience. He's played. You know, the old ball coach is going to have the team fired up defensively. They're very talented still, even with, you know, the loss of Clowney and some of the guys. I think they do enough to win the East. And I actually like Missouri in that third slot, even though they only return 3 starters on defense. I think Missouri finds a way to get in that third slot. And then Florida, one of the more talented teams in the country. It's really, you know, except for the quarterback position and the quarterback production the last couple of years, I mean, there's really no rhyme or reason why Florida shouldn't be competing with South Carolina and Florida and Georgia. I mean, Muschamp, talk about someone on the hot seat. That's somebody on the hot seat. And that team is extremely talented on both sides of the ball. You know, Roper comes in as the offensive coordinator. Can he get something started there for Florida? I don't know. I'm not a big fan of Jeff Driscoll. I think he's a good athlete. You know, doesn't really go through his reads and his progressions very well. But we'll see about that. Tennessee is on the verge of becoming relevant again, but it's not going to happen this year. They'll probably end up beating a team or two that you don't expect them to, but they still have a ways to go. Vanderbilt and Kentucky pull up the rear there in the East. You know, they just don't have the rosters to compete with those guys above. Kentucky's actually, you know, they're getting better. They're doing a better job, but it's a long way to go when you got, you know, so many good teams in the SEC. I have LSU beating South Carolina in the SEC championship. The ACC, it's really a, you know, one conference, you know, team at this point. FSU is the most talented team in the country. They probably have the best player in the country in Jameis Winston. Carlos Rogers, a running back for Florida State, is absolutely tremendous. Probably one of the best athletes in all of college football. He's a former safety, five-star kid that they've played on both sides of the ball. He's going to have a tremendous season. They're loaded at wide receiver. I don't see anybody beating FSU. Clemson is a good football team. You know, they lose Taj Boyd, Sammy Watkins, a number of really good players. I don't think they're going to challenge Florida State this year. Defensively, Vic Beasley is a tremendous player, but not enough to slow down FSU. I like Louisville to finish third there in the ACC and the Atlantic, then NC State, Syracuse, BC, and Wake Forest. In the Coastal, I like North Carolina. I think their tempo, I like what they're doing on the recruiting scene. I think that they're going to surprise some people there in the ACC. I like them to win the Coastal. Virginia Tech right there in the mix. I think with a transfer Brewer coming over from Texas Tech, I think he'll do a good job, and they'll be a little bit more efficient at that position, which I think is going to help because that defense is going to be stout. Then I like Duke to finish third, and then Miami. Miami, very talented team, top to bottom. Quarterback position, they got a true freshman, Kai, who's going to start the season from California. Really good prospect, 6'4", can do a lot of different things, dual threat, but really a guy that can throw the football. But anytime you have to start a true freshman at quarterback in a conference like that, it usually doesn't go very well. So I think that they'll struggle a little bit. Pitt is a team to watch. Although I have them behind Miami, I think Pitt could surprise some people, and it really wouldn't surprise me if they actually made a run at that division at the end of the day. And then Georgia Tech in the Big 12. I'll quickly go through this. I have Oklahoma winning the Big 12. I mean, Baylor is a good team. You know, Bryce Petty's a really good player. You know, Baylor I think is going to struggle a little bit more on defense this year. TCU in the third spot, Texas in the fourth spot. Charlie Strong is a tremendous coach, really have a lot of respect for him. I think he'll change the culture there for sure, but I don't think they have the personnel to challenge Oklahoma and Baylor and TCU at this point. Then Kansas State, obviously, you know, well-coached, and they'll probably end up beating a few teams that they shouldn't because they always do. Oklahoma State will take a step back this year. Texas Tech will take a step back this year. West Virginia, Iowa State, and Kansas round out the Big 12. And again, I have OU winning that conference. So those are my thoughts. A quick, you know, run through of the conference champions.
Well, Keith, what do you think? Any surprises?
Ditto. Is that, can I just say ditto what he just said? My God, that was awesome. So, you know, I'll work from behind, and you know, I'll start with Big 12 and say Oklahoma. You know, Oklahoma's going to win that league, but. And I think they're the team that's going to get squeezed out of the Final Four. I know we're going to get to that eventually, but I think that strength of schedule, because the teams in that league are not good enough for them to have those marquee wins to push them into the top four or five, even if they do run the team. My opinion, you know, I mean, obviously they run the table and they're going to be okay. But, you know, you're talking about, okay, we'll go to the Pac-12 right now, or Pac-28, or Pac-56, whatever it's at right now. Every year it's changing. So, you know, you're saying UCLA, right? UCLA and Oregon. And this is a personal thing. I played Canadian Football League with Steve Sarkisian for 1 year. Steve Sarkisian was a fun dude. I had a great time with him. And I think USC, I'm gonna go to the dark horse right there. And USC winning the Pac-12. Big Ten, I'm going to go with Sparty, as I said before. And ACC, I don't think you're going to knock, you know, no one there is going to knock Florida State off right now. I think they're back to where they were in the ballot years. I think they're back there to stay until some of the teams pick it up. and then out of the SEC, I have always been an Alabama fan, always will be an Alabama fan, so I am picking Alabama to win that division, that conference.
All right, well, I'm going to disagree with both of you, so here we go. I'm going to go with the Pac-12. I'm going with UCLA. I think Jim Moore has done a great job out there. UCLA and Oregon, I believe, play early on in the season. I think that's a big game there. But I'm going with the Bruins. Big Ten, Michigan State, I think that's pretty clear. I'm really surprised, Terry, about your LSU pick. That's really interesting to me. I think I will also have to go with Alabama until I see otherwise. I keep wanting to think that Auburn, you know, for what a great season they had last year and what a great finish, and they played well even in the national championship game and have a bunch of returning players, but I just can't feel Auburn being there. So I'm going to stick with Alabama for now. I'm not going with Oklahoma either. I'm going to go with Bryce Petty and Baylor. I think Trevor Knight, a quarterback, is suspect. He played fantastic in the bowl game. Can't take that from him. I'm just not sure that they're ready either. So I'm going to go with Baylor. In the ACC, FSU, I think, is a clear shot. So those are my five.
Bill, I just have one little caveat there with Alabama. I did state, I just want to put this on record, that they are probably the most talented team in the country. But the thing that I don't like about Alabama this year is the quarterback situation. And I'll tell you, Sims, if they have to play Sims, they're in big trouble. Big trouble meaning, look, they're going to win most of their games. But when it comes down to it, I think there's a few games on that schedule that if the quarterback play is not where it needs to be, and I understand McCarron and some of these guys, you know, McElroy, some of these guys have managed the games over the years for these. But if Sims is the quarterback, or if Coker is not what everybody thinks he is, which at this point in camp, I can't really decipher right now if it's just Saban kind of playing, you know, head games or kind of, you know, playing a little psychology there with his team and not wanting to just give the guy the job. That could be it. But if Coker, if he's not who they think he is, I think Alabama's going to have a little bit more difficulty than some people think. Again, the most talented team in the SEC, there's no question about that. But the quarterback position, although offensive line is very important, Keith, we all know that. Quarterback, yep, obviously, is the most important position. And you got to have a guy there that can make things happen or at least make enough plays. And I think LSU at home, I think that's the game that you circle. LSU at home, very difficult place to play. I think LSU, that's why I have LSU winning the SEC West. But Alabama, most certainly, I mean, you can't go wrong with that pick. I mean, they even with Florida State, they might be the most talented team from top to bottom. So I just wanted to add that.
No, hey, you're protecting yourself. These shows are recorded, so you're covered. All right, well, it's time to get down to the real serious business, and I'm going to start it off with my final four, and then I'm going to pass it over to you, Keith, and we'll finish up with Terry. I'm going with UCLA, Michigan State, FSU, and I don't know that this is really allowed to happen because I'm not putting the Southeast Conference team in the Final Four, and TV might not let that happen, but I don't see anybody in the SEC running the conference. I'm going with Baylor.
The internet just exploded with what you just said right there.
That's great.
So did ESPN, probably.
Hey, by the way, I was watching. I was in Cleveland this past weekend, and I watched the game. And Michael Sam sacked Johnny Manziel, and I said, "Oh, there goes internet's done as we know it right now. It's gonna explode. It's gonna melt from the inside out." So, and sure as heck, ESPN was all over it all week. My God,
that's funny.
So, all right, let me dovetail what you're saying about right there. I mean, I can't believe TV allowing a non-SEC team to play in the Final Four, let alone the national championship game. So I'm going to go with Alabama, my second favorite team in college football. I am going to go with my dark horse, the USC Trojans. I'm going to go with the Michigan State Spartans and the Florida State Seminoles. And I think that Alabama and Florida State are going to have a duel of the century out there and play the first ever, I hope hopefully become a tournament, you know, speaking of our 94 team. So hopefully it becomes a tournament, but what it is right now, and I hope it is Alabama beat Florida State for the national title.
Jerry?
Well, I mean, those are all great picks. And, Bill, I'm actually going to agree with you on one thing here. I, too, do not have an SEC team in the Final Four.
Whoa.
And I know. It's a shock. The SEC, to me, is the best conference. There's no doubt about that. But I don't think, because of the quarterback situation at Alabama, again, unless Coker turns out to be what a lot of people think he is, I don't think that a team makes it out of the conference with less than two losses. So I think that the committee has no choice but to leave an SEC team out of the playoff. But this is a good thing for me because I actually am more in favor of extending this to eight teams because I think that's a more that's a true representation of, you know, encapsulating the teams out there that give you the best shot to have a real playoff. So I'm actually in favor of an 18 playoff. So if we exclude the SEC from the inaugural 14 playoff, can you imagine all the backlash on this? I think they'll go to eight teams next year if that's the case. So that maybe it's selfish of me to do this, but I have FSU, I have Oklahoma, mostly because of scheduling. And one thing I wanted to point out about Oklahoma, Bill, is their defense. This is going to be one of the better defenses Oklahoma's had in a long time. Offensively, you're so right about the quarterback, Trevor Knight. He was great in the bowl game, but he was Jekyll and Hyde-ish pretty much all season long. So we really don't know what he is yet, but I do like their defense. So I have FSU, Oklahoma. I have Oregon with a healthy Marcus Mariota, and I have Michigan State. So I have FSU and Oregon playing in the championship game. And I hate to go chalk, but I have FSU winning the national title and Jameis Winston having his second there. So those are my picks.
Well, I actually, when I named my four, I didn't name my national champion. And so I will also go with the Florida State Seminoles. I just think way, way, way too many weapons. You know, and even if Jameis Winston doesn't play as good as he did last year, which he probably will, they still are just loaded. They're loaded on both sides of the ball and on special teams.
Hey, Philly Press Box is officially sponsored by Crab Legs right now. So, you know, are we going to throw that? Are we going after the Northwestern up in the Deadliest Catch? Or is Sig Hansen going to be the sponsor now of Philly Press Box, or what?
I'm going to tell you, Keith. I'm going to tell you, me picking FSU is kind of like you picking Ohio State.
Well, that hurt.
I mean, I am not an FSU fan by any means. Kind of like
you're
Terry,
right, you know,
being a USC fan picking UCLA.
Yeah, they're gonna go undefeated, and so is Oklahoma. You guys are probably right, you know. And they're gonna sit there and say, "Well, Alabama had a loss, Auburn had a loss, Michigan State had a loss, all that stuff." It's all gonna work against them, and then you're gonna have the two of the. You know, the worst of the five conferences, the worst two of the five conferences, the ACC and the Big 12 or whatever, are going to have the national title contenders.
Yep.
So it just goes back to what we had before. It's not really solving the problem.
Well, I agree, and I think Terry's point of maybe going to even more teams to ferret it out a little better would probably be better.
I would have liked two teams in 1994, as you well know. That's
yes,
you know, they could have 50 teams right now. I don't care. But I only wanted was two 20 years ago.
Absolutely. All right. Well, listen. Give us. We're gonna go one step further. Give us one name for the Heisman Trophy, Terry.
I'm gonna go with Marcus Mariota of Oregon. Again, he was injured last season. I think he's gonna have a tremendous season. I think Oregon's gonna be. I know they're ranked very high, but some people are a little down on them. I think Oregon bounces back with a big season, and I think Marcus is going to play. He's going to play very, very well.
Keith?
You're killing me, Terry. Mariota's my pick also. I just think that he's what they look for as Heisman voter. He's going to have the numbers. He's going to have the wins. He's going to have the marquee name. He's going to have the marquee money behind him sponsoring, doing all of this and doing all that. The ESPN is going to have a love fest for him. Phil Knight's going to roll out the red carpet, spend $1 billion on his campaign and stuff like that. So, you know what? And this guy's worth it. And I think that he is actually going to be the best player in college football this year. So, Mariota myself.
Well, I had Mariota as my number two. And, I mean, the kid can flat out do it all, no doubt about it. And I'm not sure why I have this sudden love fest for Baylor, but sure. I just think they're good, and I think Bryce Petty is fantastic, and I have Bryce Petty as my guy.
Cool.
How about that? Of course, if they make the Final Four, if they make the Final Four, he sure got a chance. If they don't make it and Oregon does, well, he sure has a better chance.
We all can agree on one thing. Thank God it's football season.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Thursday night.
All right. Well,
Wednesday night.
Well, Bill, we forgot to touch on one thing.
Go ahead.
We forgot to touch on Notre Dame.
Oh, and that was actually, I wanted to do that. Go ahead.
Quickly, I'm sure we all have a few things to say about them. So Notre Dame, obviously the schedule.
Actually, I have nothing to say about Notre Dame. Go ahead.
Nothing good anyway.
Yeah. So Notre Dame, so a little bit of a mixed bag. I mean, offensively, Notre Dame is going to be really, really good, really explosive. We'll see how the, you know, supposed suspensions kind of play out with this investigation into the academic fraud. But even with that, I mean, they're very talented. Everson, you know, Golson comes back, you know, after his suspension, and the kid can really play. I mean, he's the playmaker that they were missing last year. The running game is going to be really good. Notre Dame has recruited as well as anybody on the offensive line, and I think offensively they're going to be better than they've been in the last probably 3 or 4 or 5 years. So Brian Kelly will be very happy about that. Defensively, it's going to be really a mixed bag. I mean, they have to replace quite a few players on that side of the ball. I don't think they're going to be able to rush the passer quite as well as they have in the past. They're most certainly not as stout up front. So with their schedule, when you look at it, I mean, they have to play USC. They have to play Stanford. They have to play North Carolina. They have to play Louisville. They have to play Florida State. They have to play Michigan. I mean, it could be anywhere. They could be anywhere from 7-5 to 10-2 if things go well, you know, if things go right for them. I have a feeling they're going to land somewhere in the middle. I think they're probably looking at more of like an 8-4 season. But, you know, having Golson back there most certainly gives them a better shot. And offensively, I think they're going to be tremendous.
Is this the last year of Michigan and Notre Dame?
This is the last year.
I just think that it means a lot to a lot of people there right there. So
sure does.
That's a huge game.
All right. Well, that brings us close to the top of our hour. We'd like to thank our sponsor again, www.southbeachshopping.com, as well as my partners, Terry House and the Goon, Keith Conlon, for their great insight. What a fantastic hour we had. We'd like to remind our listeners that we will be back next Tuesday night, September 2nd at 7 p.m. to talk about Week 1, as well as the upcoming week. You can listen to our podcast at any time at www.blogtalkradio.com/Philly Press Box Radio. And we can also go back and get Terry's comments just so they're recorded and be sure that he was on the ball. So everyone can't wait. I can't wait for Thursday night when number 21 Texas A&M visits number 9 South Carolina. And of course, Saturday morning with Penn State Nittany Lions meeting, or should we say beating, the UCF Knights in Ireland at 8:30 in the morning. Maybe some Irish coffee with that one, Goon.
No doubt about that. I'll be at Damon's Restaurant on East College Avenue, State College, by the way. 7 a.m. we're opening up.
There you go. Okay, later Saturday, number 1 FSU travels to Oklahoma State. Number 16 Clemson visits number 12 Georgia. Number 14 Wisconsin visits number 13 LSU. And some Monday night football when the Miami Hurricanes and their true freshman starting quarterback visit Louisville. The Temple Owls and Villanova Wildcats open this weekend as well. There is plenty to do on opening weekend of college football, fellas.
Absolutely. Can we start now?
Yeah.
Well, we just have to. You got to get warmed up and get ready for Thursday night.
We'd
like to thank our listeners for
boys.
Joining us. What's that?
We don't want to pull a hammy, so you better stretch out before.
That's right. Well, thanks for joining us. I'd like to thank our listeners. I hope you enjoyed our show, and we will see you next Tuesday night. Thanks, and let's get ready for some football. You guys...